Hey guys. Man, what a time to be alive. Honestly. I had wanted to start a podcast for a while. And even now, when I'm sitting here recording this, I do feel a little bit of that cringe, like, who the fuck do you think you are? Who's this bitch? Oh, we need another, you know, middle-class white girl to talk about her feelings. Or the cute clothes she wore on that trip to Greece, which was honestly one of my podcast notes. My hope is to be a lot less basic than that. And that's not judgmental at all, because those people are really successful. But my desire to start a podcast was two or threefold. Primarily, I had listened to a lot of pods that were really wonderful and some that weren't. And a lot of those sparked sort of discussions within my own friend group and conversations that we had. And some of those things I thought were pretty dynamic and interesting and would add to the larger conversation. I also wanted recordings just sort of as a journal for all the things that we spoke about and for, you know, in a self-serving way, like where I am right now in life and what's happening. And potentially, you know, the dream would be, if this is not too obnoxious, that this could potentially inspire other people to have conversations amongst their friends and family, or address some of those things in their own life, or, you know, to just not feel so alone in thinking or feeling some of those things. So really, it's cathartic for me. It's a good intellectual process. It might not fucking go anywhere, and that's okay. But also, I'm kind of at that moment in quarantine where, you know, if you aren't really doing anything with your time, what are you doing? And I don't want to look back on this time and feel useless. And this is a thing that I can do relatively safely from my own home. I invested in some equipment a while ago as a photographer and filmmaker. And so I wanted to make the leap and at least try to do the damn thing, because I think I would have regrets if I didn't. And of course, you know, who the hell knows? There's a lot of ways to make money online these days. And if this ended up being an avenue to some other connection or platform or something, or even, you know, in a few years, my bread and butter, what a dream and what a privilege. So I'm going to dip my toes in the water and see what the hell happens, because it's March in 2020 and the world's kind of upside down, right? It's pretty ironic to be like really attempting to launch this damn thing in the middle of a pandemic. I came up with the name Apocalypse Now, but First Coffee, after I watched the movie Apocalypse Now with my dad. He is a Vietnam combat veteran, and just so much of that movie rings true to his experience, just the absurdities of war and this kind of this, you know, comical and really sad and simultaneously satirical meta narrative on war and what that means. And I was sort of feeling, I think maybe a lot of millennials feel this, and maybe it's just generational selfishness, and it's not as bad for us as it has been for a lot of people. I mean, absolutely, it isn't. And this is such a first world thing to say, but it's been an interesting ride the last decade plus with my generation, you know? 9/11 was a really, really important and defining moment for myself personally and for my generation. And then it was the war, WMDs, and the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq, the recession in 2008, the election in 2016, which was a thing in and of itself. Like, really, these two are the best people that we can offer up. And now, you know, a pandemic. And I do recognize that this is very first world, and it's very middle class first world, but it is my reality and our reality now. And I think a lot of people can relate maybe to that sense of doom and that sense of hilarity. And there were a couple mini apocalypses, it felt like, leading up to this situation. And now we are quarantined in a pandemic. But first, coffee part was sort of, I mean, it was sort of supposed to be critical of my own self, of the things that I prioritized when I could have been doing better and should have been doing more. I felt, you know, for the people around me, for myself, for my country, and our tendency, you know, to worry about how we look on social media before a lot else. And I think that's a problem. And, you know, again, just my opinion. I could be talking out of my ass, but I see it affecting, it affected a lot of my students. It's definitely affected me. And I think that's really this, there's this really odd disconnect between, you know, how we're all experiencing this thing and what the reality of our day-to-day lives looks like. For a lot of people, it's pretty easy, and we're worried about how high our asses are and, you know, what those fake lips look like, which, no hate, because I wish I had lips. But yeah, it's just a really interesting dichotomy. And so it's a play on, you know, these larger issues and how it's all a bit fucked up, and maybe some moments of hope of what we can do and how we're feeling, and tapping into some insightful conversations with people as this thing goes on. Yeah, and just that we're all kind of rowing this boat together, and what a wild ride it is. There's so much to unpack over the last couple days, like, actually the last month, truly, and I don't mean to make light of it. I feel like that's kind of a default response of mine right now, because the rest is really scary and terrifying, but I've been thinking a lot about how we've come to this place, and I don't fucking know, but I've been reading a lot about it, and I've been trying to stay tuned in. And I think one of the biggest lessons here is that government really matters. Dun, 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 I know. Shut your pants and kick me in a river. I know. And this isn't supposed to be preachy, and I'm not saying this to make people feel one way or another. I just think it's really important for some of us to understand that even though it's not cool or sexy to be interested in politics as a young person, I really, really would encourage all of us to try and read as much as we can from, you know, unbiased sources, if possible. I know that gets harder and harder these days. And try and stay in tune with at least some of your local government or statewide government or even national politics, if that's what you can keep up with. And the reason I say this is because the United States and South Korea had our first COVID-19 cases on the same days in January, at least first publicly reported. And from that point to now, South Korea has experienced a fraction of the fatalities that we have in the United States. And life is moving on as normal as possible there, while we're on the opposite end of that spectrum. And it seems to be a full-on shit show. And the government is estimating that a W in this for us would be 100,000 deaths. And that's really stark. And that's really important. And the one good thing about this issue is that it's data points. And you can't argue with death. It just is what it is. And these numbers to me indicate a failing of leadership and a failing of policy. And that can be from top down, that can be internally, you know, different programs that have been mismanaged. And I think some people on both sides of the aisle have mishandled some things. But this is a true, real example of the people in power being so completely inept at dealing with this that we are going to have, at least they're projecting, 100,000 deaths if we do everything right from this point out. And it didn't have to be that way. And it didn't have to be the case. So, you know, when you laugh at your nerdy friend who's in the political science course, and if you take a political science course, you still know nothing, but at least, you know, you're attempting to sort of understand how the systems work. Remember something like this. And even on a smaller scale, if you have an awesome pickup truck and it's got that diesel and it smells good and you love that sound, and your local government puts in place restrictions for your truck, that's the government directly affecting your life. If you are living in a state that doesn't have an issue with fires and you want to have a campfire in your backyard in the middle of summer and there's a fire ban in place, that's government affecting your life. And it goes on and on, from the smallest things to the biggest, right? Like off-leash dog parks, that's local government. Food stamps, homeless populations, healthcare, vehicular laws, permitting laws, cigarette laws, your right to own a firearm and the process that involves, hunting licenses, all of that stuff is regulated and restricted. Keep on going. When you vote and how, right? That's based on governmental decisions and policies. A woman's right to choose whether churches pay taxes, what sort of restrictions there are on manufacturers of airplanes, international travel laws, who gets a visa and who doesn't, what kind of tax there is on sugary drinks, or whether GMOs need regulating, right? If your cousin, brother, sister, husband, wife is in the military and gets deployed, everything is affected by the government, and government matters. And what really, really matters here is the people that we put in positions of power to lead us. And don't get me wrong, I would never want to be a politician. It sounds like one of the worst jobs on the planet. Honestly, I don't think anyone would vote for me, really. You know, kind of look like that girl next door. I'm like really tall, but I'm not skinny enough to be a model, so it's a little weird. Too opinionated. I curse too much, smoked too much weed. I'm sure there are pictures out there of me that someone shouldn't have or see. And I don't pity these people with the jobs that they have to do. There's way too much money in politics for people to remain sort of untarnished by the job if they've been in for a while. I truly believe that. But we need people that understand, that want to use intellect and empathy and patience and kindness and be thoughtful in these positions of power, or else we end up with a number like 100,000. So, for example, I just want to say congratulations to the president has a new tone crowd of people that were claiming he was doing such a good job here when he sounded somber at a press conference. Here's a clip I'll play for you from today.
Did you know I was number one on Facebook? And I just found out I'm number one on Facebook. I thought that was very nice. For whatever it
means.
And
the point here isn't to mock this incredibly powerful person. It's to say that, you know, say there was an 18-car pileup on the highway near your house, and one of the highway patrolmen showed up and said, hey, do you know I have 10,000 followers on TikTok from last week to this week? You'd want to punch him in the fucking face. Maybe punch him in the dick. So this is the kind of leadership we're dealing with. And it's actually a really interesting... There's an effect for this in psychology called the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's a phenomenon where, you know, really stupid, idiotic people don't think they're stupid. And when those people get elected into office, I'm not saying that this is only, and he's not stupid, but I'm not saying this is only Republicans. There's so many idiotic Democrats. It's really a tragedy. And independents, honestly. We're everywhere. I would probably include myself in that category. But when you don't have any sense of self-awareness or modesty or the willingness to reach out to people, serious experts in the field, there's no other opportunity that has presented itself better for politicians to say, you know what, we're going to take a back seat here and listen to the epidemiologists and the scientists and the doctors and the healthcare workers and the nurses, and then we'll take some action, because they know much better than us what to do about this. Georgia's governor, Brian Kemp. Oh, Brian. Mr. Kemp, congratulations for being the biggest idiot in the U.S. He said yesterday during his press conference, which he had refused to shut down the state up until this point, that within the last 24 hours was when he found out that asymptomatic people could transmit the coronavirus. How do you feel? Good fucking luck. A sixth grader that I used to teach probably had heard about that. And these are the people making decisions that will directly impact our lives, that will directly impact if my 76-year-old father has a higher likelihood of transmitting or getting this transmitted to him. So government matters. And I ask that you just start with reading. You know, it's maddening. It's so maddening. I totally get it. I think my blood pressure is probably through the fucking roof. I probably had way too many bottles of wine trying to cope with all this bullshit. But if you care about the Second Amendment, and if you care about your right to freedom of speech, and if you care about having a healthy pregnancy and what those hospital fees are going to be and if insurance covers that, if you care about access to really good public education, if you care about protecting lands for hunting and animal population control, these are all things that the government manages. And I think it's really important for us to not be sucked into, you know, the Instagram hole of death and booty holes and really awesome, you know, cool rappers that talk about gold chains and all that bullshit. And, you know, how wide your rims are in your truck. Or, you know, how sexy the guy from Outlander is, which I don't get it. And just take a couple minutes, please, to think about, you know, what's important to me and how could I learn a bit about it and how that system works and who is my representative or who's on my city council. Oh, I agree with the way that Pence is handling this. What else do you agree with? Or, oh, I disagree that Dianne Feinstein dumped a bunch of stocks after that private meeting, which I do. Wow, fuck those people. That matters, and they are publicly elected, and we can vote them out. So government matters. And please, let's try a bit harder to talk rationally about these things and to keep our fingers on the pulse, as Jordan Klepper says. Because spacing out and dropping out and being pretty self-obsessed and self-absorbed at times like this, I think, doesn't serve any of us well. Yeah, if you look into the election of Brian Kemp and that whole process, I think it'll also lead you to read about voter suppression in the South and redistricting and gerrymandering. And, you know, a lot of people on both sides of the aisle have claims to some of that stuff. So it's really important because that asshole is who is leading the fucking charge in Georgia. And I feel bad for those people. And because it's not all apocalypse, we got to enjoy our coffee before the apocalypse. We've got a segment, What's Making Us Happy? Or, as I like to say, a little sugar for your coffee, a little mint for your julep. And the thing that's really pleasing me right now is those couples that are in lockdown. You know, you've played your video games, you've tried your new recipes, you've built your own homemade candles, you've gone out and mowed the lawn a couple times, maybe you shot some shit if you live in the right place. But then you get to the baby Mikan, and let me tell you how stoked I am for the boom that's going to come from this quarantine. And I know California and New York are way ahead of us, but it's going to be great. And that's going to be such a celebration of love that comes from this damn thing, because why not? You know, it'll make for a great story. Mom, Dad, where was I conceived? My friends and I played this game. Where were you conceived and what was the hit song of that year? I think mine was some Madonna bullshit, but the two friends I played it with were an Austrian and a Venezuelan who are still two of my closest friends. So that was pretty great. I would never want a Mariah Carey song as the fave. We would see, let's see what song it will be so far in 2020, the top of the chart. All right, number one song on the chart from February 29th, No Time to Die by Billie Eilish. Well, that's fucking fitting. March 14th, Stupid Love by Lady Gaga. Oh, and April 4th, The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. Yes. Kenny. I really hope that John Prine survives this trip to the ICU. He lived a good and long life, but man, Angel from Montgomery just hit different. I remember when I was in high school, my best friend, Justin, shout out to Jesus, J-Town, J-Rob, he and I were in this little acoustic duo, and my dad taught me to play guitar and sing, and then he and I would play, and then Justin and I formed this little band, and we would go around and play in coffee shops in good old Astoria, Oregon, which is now apparently like a hipster jewel of the Northwest. Back in the day, it was like, jacked up pickup trucks. You know, they jokingly voted me homecoming princess and paired me with a guy with a Confederate flag waving outside of his pickup truck. So that's how much people in my high school loved me. I'm kidding. It wasn't that bad. It was weird being like a nerd and a jock, but that's for another episode. But yeah, Justin and I would play a cover of Angel from Montgomery, that version with Bonnie Raitt and John Prine. And then when Into the Wild came out and fucking What's Her Bitey Lip Face sang it. What a song. That was the least eloquent way to celebrate that song, but man, what a song. So, you know, along with our grocers and our healthcare workers and, you know, delivery guys and truck drivers and the military and the people that are really working hard, thank you to the creators and musicians and comics that are keeping our spirits up during this time, because if you think art doesn't matter, try and stay quarantined without it. Fuck, man. I would love to hear from everyone what your quarantine playlists are. I love that people are sharing playlists and having communal DJ sets and just getting down and funky and groovy with it. Spontaneous dance parties are the best. And I will have one in my kitchen with you at any time. You cannot take yourself too seriously. And it's always a good mood booster. I've become a really anxious, like obnoxiously anxious person lately. And yeah, the dance party really gets it going and kicks me out of first, you know. So there's a little sugar for your coffee and mint for your julep. Keep your spirits up, everyone. We're going to get through this. And thinking of you, thank you for the time. Thank you for listening.